Galatians chapter 5, if you will. Galatians chapter 5, I want to talk to you what it means, what freedom means in Christ. Freedom in Christ, what does that mean? We hear that a lot. We hear people talk about that now they're free, you can't judge them, and they can do whatever they want to. I want to know, what does the Bible say? When I've got a question, I really don't ask a whole lot of people a whole lot of things. I try to get my Bible and look it up and study things, and I may listen to other people. I may try to get advice, but my final authority is the inspired, infallible Word of God. I get my old King James Bible out, and I read it. I was educated in South Carolina, and I know down up north they think I'm not supposed to have but just one tooth left and not read nor write, but I can read and write, and I got most of my teeth, and the ones I don't have you can't see, and so I'm doing all right. I can read, and I can read the King James Bible. Isn't that funny? I can read the King James Bible. And did you know I could understand it? You know, I've never had a problem understanding the King James Bible since I've been saved. Now, before I got saved, I had problems with it, you know. And we learned this morning that if you'll put a T-H on the end of any word, it's biblical. Amen. Amen. So I want to know what the Bible says about freedom. These people are marching up down the streets, declaring justice and freedom and all these things, and they are so bound by so much they don't know what it really means. And tonight I want to talk about that. I'm not going to talk much about the politics, but I'm going to say this. If they had to pay you and ride you on a bus from somewhere else to protest, you're not really a protester. You're a hireling terrorist. That's all you are. And they'll put you in jail. They'll put you in jail. And set my car on fire, you better hope they put you in jail. That'll be the safest place for you. And I'm a Baptist preacher. And I have people on Facebook that say, I ain't never heard a preacher talk like that. That ain't the way a pastor's supposed to talk. Well, that's the way my ancestors did it when they picked up their musket and went shooting at redcoats. Amen. Or that other group that wore blue coats. Let me tell you something. I got more freedom. I don't have to follow the crowd. I don't have to do that because I've become a follower of Jesus Christ. So turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 1, if you will, and then I think it's verse 13, just to shorten the amount of time. But you'll read the whole chapter of Galatians chapter 5. He said in verse 1, stand fast. That means you stand still, stand hard, stand fast. Therefore, liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And he's talking about the yoke of sin, that bondage that we had ourselves under and that had us as slaves. And then in verse 13, he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Don't use it wrongly. But by love serve one another. I want to talk to you about what freedom in Christ really means. The first thing I'd like to tell you is, if you are going to be free in Christ, you have liberty in Christ, you must know Christ. You must be born again. You can't have this liberty, this freedom, without Jesus Christ. The baptism won't get it. Church membership won't get it. Masonic lodge or some kind of club won't get it. You must be born again. Because, see, we were born wrong. We were born slaves. We were born slaves to sin, slaves to our emotions, slaves to our lust and our desires and our drives. We were slaves to that. Oh, we would have said we wasn't if you'd asked us. We'd said, no, I'm a free man. But we really were not. Matter of fact, Jesus said, you'll do what your father, the devil, did. Because, see, there's only two families. That's the Lord Jesus Christ family and the devil's family. There's no in-between here. There's no neutral ground. I ask people sometimes, I say, are you a Christian? They'll say, no, but I'm not against it. Thinking that might get them some favor with God, not being against Christianity. And by the way, just that statement says they're against it. Because if they were not against Christianity, they would be a Christian. Amen? There's something about Christianity they don't like, or they would be a Christian. Now, so in order to have that liberty in Christ, you have to be in Christ, and He has to be in you. And so what I'm going to talk about tonight is Jesus Christ paid for my liberty that I can live free. Now, I'm not talking about nationality. We went to Washington, D.C., and I love Washington, D.C., and Lord willing, one day I'll go back. They said the flowers was out and all that, but I like froze to death. It was so cold. And walk, you better be ready to walk. Man, oh my goodness. And we got up in there and I think they call it the Avenue of the Americas or something, you know, and they got all this, stuff about America, the states and all that. And then they got these things about the wars and the Vietnam War and the Korean War, you know, and World War One, World War Two. In the Korean War section, they have men covered in these ponchos, and their statues, life-size statues, and they look tired and they look worn out and cold, you know. And the Vietnam one was a little bit different, but about the same thing. And then as you're leaving that Korean display, it's in a garden. It looks like they're walking through the woods, you know. When you leave that, it said this: freedom's not free. Somebody had to pay for that. And in order for me to be a Christian, somebody had to pay the wages of sin, which is death, the hell in the grave. They had to do that. Now, in order for me to be a free American, people had to die so I would have the right to be free in America. Now, there's a whole group of people now, there's a whole party that wants to take that away from you. They've been in office, most of their leaders have been in office 30, 40 or more years. And that never was intended, by the way, by the founding fathers. It was civil service. They served for nothing. And most of them did it one term. They had to leave their farms and everywhere else to go up there to work. They couldn't afford to do that all the time. But now we got career politicians who's been in there in 30, 40 years, Nancy Pelosi, Schumer, people like that. And they think they own America. Well, let me tell you something. They didn't die for America. They don't even live for America. They live for themselves. And they can't, they can't tell me that I have to do what they say because good people died so I can do what the Constitution says. Now, let me tell you something else. As a Christian, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, let me tell you something. Freedom is something that only Jesus Christ can give me as an eternal gift from God. I have freedom in Christ. And the only way I got that was I had to come to know Jesus Christ, and He set me free from the tyranny and the slavery of sin. And people say, well, I make my own choices. You do not. You do not make your own choice. You're not free to do that. Your sinful nature makes you do those choices. And by the way, when you get through those choices, you say, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I'm like that. Well, I'll tell you why. Because you're a slave, and the slave has to obey their master, and he's the devil. Amen? And look, every person in this world is born free to choose. Now, everybody in the world, doesn't matter what country they're in, they can be in a dictatorship or a communist country or socialist country or anarchy like we have in our big cities tonight. But everybody in every part of this world was born by a gift of God called freedom of choice. You choose whether or not you want to be free. I'm talking about in Christ. Everybody can do that. It's not something that anybody can stop you from doing. You can be a believer in a communist country. You can be a believer in a socialist country. You can be a believer in a totalitarian country. You can be a believer in this country, though it's not very popular the day we live in. But you was born with that choice. Now, if you choose to be in bondage to death, hell, and the grave, that's your choice. I can't make you be a Christian. I've had people tell me, go preach the devil out of them. I can't do that. That's a choice they have to make. I just preach the truth. Many, many, many years I preached at York County chain gang when it's really a chain gang. And I'd go out there and preach. And those men had made bad choices that put them in jail. I couldn't set them physically free, but I could give them the formula to be spiritually free in Christ Jesus. And some of them got saved and they became free men in jail. And I'd see them the next time, they'd be smiling, carrying a Bible. Amen. Now, they must have really got it because it ain't easy to be a real believer in jail. But they made that choice. Now, their second choice, of course, was a lot better than the first. They ended up in jail. Now, you can't choose where you're going to be born. You can't choose who your parents are going to be. You can't choose who your leaders in the country is going to be. But you can choose to serve and to be saved by Jesus Christ. You serve Him because He saved you. We become a bond slave to Him. You know what that means? We sold ourselves to Him. A bond slave is somebody that comes to you and says, Jerry, I'm going to serve you for 7 years. You ain't got to pay me nothing. I'm going to serve you. You just feed me. You give me a place to sleep. Give me clothes to wear, and I'm going to serve you. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to be your slave for 7 years. Some of our ancestors came to this country that way. A lot of the Irish people, Scotch-Irish people, got on boats. They were starving to death over there. They got on boats, sailed over here, and they had already sold themselves to companies that had bond slaves. I'm not talking about black people. These people were slaves before black people had a problem with it. I'm telling you, these people had sold themselves into slavery for 7 years to pay for their trip over here and give them a place to eat and sleep and serve somebody for 7 years, and had no say-so about their life, and they did that. They made the choice because they knew liberty in America would be better than starving to death in Ireland. Now, when you got saved, that's what you did that day. You said, I'm selling out. You ever heard anybody say that? I'm selling out. These women selling me out. They're cold. We're Danny when you need him. They decided one day, I did, I said, I'd rather serve God than to serve Satan. Amen. Now, I was born a sinner, but eventually as I came of age, God gave me a choice. Do you want to stay this way or you want to be saved? And I took the choice to follow Him, and I decided to follow Jesus, and I became free from sin. See, I'm talking about sin. The wages of sin is death. It'll take you to hell. I'm not going to hell. I'm freed from that. I have eternal life. I'm going to live as long as God lives. And then, not only that, at some point in your life, you've got to choose, and you got to decide, am I going to be a bondman, a slave to Him, a bond slave, or am I going to do my own thing? As a Christian. I'm talking about as a Christian. Now, He gave you the freedom to do that. Did you know you can be saved and not serve God and still go to heaven because He made you a promise to get you there? But you won't be near as happy as you would be if you sell out to Him. Old Bob Dylan, I don't know if he ever got saved or not. He said he did, and he threw away all his music and gave up everything, you know, and wrote an album. He called it Long Train Coming. And he was a Jew. And he said this black girl led him to Christ. That she had, he wrote a song about her, about the blood of Jesus. He wrote a song about the blood of Jesus, about being saved, one about being born again. And that Long Train Coming, that song was about his life, how it took him so long on that train of life to get to Jesus Christ. And he wrote this song, and I know he don't sing it anymore because it don't make money. It was all a flop after he got saved. And but he said, in the song he said, you're going to serve somebody. He said, everybody's going to serve somebody. He said, it may be the banker, it may be the doctor, it may be the lawyer, or you're going to serve somebody. And he said, it may be the Lord or it may be the devil, but you're going to serve somebody. Amen? And so we decided when we got saved, we didn't just get saved from the penalty of sin, but we could also be given liberty that we didn't have to sin anymore. He gave us liberty. He set us free. And then if you go read Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, you'll see the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is writing his own struggle about his flesh and his struggle with the flesh and sin. And then by the time he gets to chapter 8, verse 1, he said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Now, we make that choice. We all do. Sometimes we make the wrong choice. But then I thought about this. In Romans 8, chapter 2, chapter 8, verse 2, if you'll turn there, I want you to see something. And I want you to mark this one down. And we're talking about freedom. These people out here talking about justice and freedom, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. It's anarchy, what they want. Most people want anarchy. That's where there are no rules. That's what I wanted when I was lost and going to hell, especially when I was a teenager. Say amen right there. I grew up in the 60s. I remember those riots and stuff. I remember in Lancaster it wasn't always nice either. And I'm not going to tell you everything that I experienced in that because I don't even like to remember it. But I'll tell you this. God set me free. I've got liberty now. I don't have to be like that anymore. Amen. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And so what he's saying is this, I'm free from the Old Testament law. I'm free from that. The Old Testament law, and he talks about being the letter of law, it killeth. He's talking about the law of Moses, the Old Testament law. Now, those laws were not meant to save you. They were meant to show you that you need a Savior. Later on, he calls them a schoolmaster. He says they are there to teach us that we need a Savior and that we need to live this way or do this or don't do that. It's not to save us. The law will always condemn us because we will always come short of the glory of God. You'll never add up completely. And matter of fact, they call it a yoke. I think it was in the book of Acts. He said it's a yoke. And the Jews were trying to get the Gentiles to live by the law that they were saying they were living by, and they were hypocrites. And Paul told them they were hypocrites. And he said, you want to put a yoke on these people that you can't even handle yourself. I've known preachers do that. They try to put people in yokes. And you know what a yoke is. That's something where you can guide that old ox through that ground and make him pull that plow. And a lot of people want to put a yoke on us and say, well, you got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. If you don't do it, you ain't saved. No, we're free from that. That's what we thought when we were lost. But then we got saved and we got the liberty in Christ and we don't have to do anything except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the love of Christ constrains us, not the law. You know why I ain't never burnt buildings down and rioted? The love of my country constrained me. Amen. You know why I've never killed anybody? The love of my fellow man has constrained me. You know why I ain't never choked my youngest? The love of my... Amen. You want to know why I put up with Baptist church members? The love of the brethren constraineth me. Amen. Now, I'm not under the law. I was showing Kenneth. He comes over here every once in a while. And, I guess he's working. I don't know what he's doing. I don't want to talk about too much on the internet. His boss man might be watching. But I was showing him. We got crawfish. I think y'all Yankees call them crawdads or something. We call them crawfish. And most times they're about 2 or 3 inches long. If you go down to the creek, you can catch them. You like crawfish, don't you? They got meat in them. You like meat. But anyway, most of them's about that long. Well, we got some in the yard, and they're all over South Carolina. They're in my yard. If you look in your yard, you got a hole about that big around with a big pile of mud around it. That ain't a snake. That's a crawfish. He's so big, he looks like a little lobster. We got them out here. They're about 6 inches long, like a little lobster. And you take a little string and tie a little piece of meat on it, Now, don't get a hot dog or something. It just chip that off, something like a piece of bacon or something. And fill that hole up with water. Fill that water, and that water will come up to the top. Take that big old mound and throw it away so the ground will be level. And fill that thing up, and it's just like catching a crab at the beach. You drop that string, that meat down there on that string, and he'll grab it. And you'll feel him grab it just like you do that crab, that piece of chicken down at the beach. And then you pull him up real slow, and when he gets up to the rim of that thing, if you pull his head out of that water, he's going to let go, just like a crab will. You ever try to catch a crab, and you pull him up, when he gets out of the water, he lets go? But as long as he's in the water, you can take a net and put it under. Well, these crawfish, same way, you can pull it up. Now, I'm going to preach the Bible to you, whether you want to hear it or not, okay? But you pull that little crab up to the top of that hole right there, and then you get a pair of pliers and grab him by the leg, and you pull him out. He's about 6 foot, 6 foot, 6 inches long. Yeah, there's one out there 6 foot. I saw him the other day. But he's about 6 inches long. And then half of that is his tail. So you got about 3 inches of meat. And you throw him in there and boil him. You take that tail and jam it up towards his body and twist it and pull it out. And you got a, look like a little lobster. Yeah, look like a little lobster tail. Now, you thought I lost my place, didn't you? The Old Testament forbid me from eating him. That's good eating. If you ain't ever eat crawfish, you miss it. Now, I don't suck their brains out like a lot of people do. They'll break that thing off. I don't do that. But that tail, that's solid meat. That's solid meat. Like a little, do you like lobster? It's freshwater lobster. That's what it is. And you can eat that. Now, the Bible forbids that. I ate shrimp yesterday. Bible forbids that. We ate ham today. Bible forbids that. I've been sinning for the past week. I eat bologna. Bible forbids that. Amen? Yeah. It's waste all mashed together. If we, I don't think God likes hot dogs, but I eat them all the time. But look, those are Old Testament laws. But it wasn't to save you. The children of Israel had no refrigeration. They had no way to preserve things other than salt. And besides, how many shrimp have you ever found out in the desert? But a lot of that was dietary laws to keep them alive. Yeah. Well, I got a freezer. I got refrigerator. And let me tell you something. I am now out from under those dietary laws. Peter found that out when he went to sleep that day, and the Lord lowered a blanket down in front of him, and he showed him all these unclean things he wasn't supposed to eat. And he said, Peter, rise, slay, and eat. He said, not so, Lord. Would you ever do that? Say, not so, Lord. He said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that was unclean. And he did it three times. Then he said this, what I call clean, let no man call unclean. And he was doing that as an example to the Gentiles. Peter thought Gentiles were sorry dogs that were supposed to die and go to hell. And the real Jews still do think that. And let me tell you something. I am free from those laws. Did you know that that my worship day has moved from Saturday to Sunday to celebrate the risen Savior? Now, if I'm still under the law, I'm going to hell because I don't go to the Sabbath worship. Amen. And there's some ignorant Baptists still celebrate that. There's some ignorant people think you got to do those Old Testament laws. But see, I've got liberty. I've been free. And for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free. Now, does that give me a license to do anything I want to? No. It's not lawlessness. Jesus told us what his law was, that we love your neighbor as yourself, that you love your brethren because men know you pass from death unto life because you love your brethren, and that you love God. If you love those three things, everything else will fall right in place. If you love your neighbor, you ain't going to be over here burning his business down. If you love your brother as yourself, you're not going to be a gossip monger or spread lies on your brothers and sisters. You're going to treat them right. Amen? And if you love God, those are the fruits of loving God. That's the law of Christ. Amen? So you believe on him, and then you can follow him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. But look, I'm free, that doesn't mean that I'm free from Christ. It means I'm free from the penalty of the sin and the results of sin. Did you know that what we're witnessing right now on TV is called anarchy? Anarchy. It's not called freedom. It's not called liberty. It's not called, there's nothing wrong with a rightful protest. In America, you've got a legal right to protest. You can do that. But you don't have a right to tear up people's stuff. You don't have a right to burn stuff. You don't have a right to hurt people. Matter of fact, the real reason for the federal government being established, you go back and study our beginning. The real reason for the federal government is to protect the people and the property of the people of the United States of America. That was their only purpose. They didn't start collecting taxes until after during the Civil War. We didn't pay taxes to a federal government. We paid taxes to a state government. And the state run their own business. Look, that's not freedom what they're practicing out there. That's anarchy. That's every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And that brought God's anger and God's chastisement on the children of Israel over and over and over. Anytime you read in the Old Testament, especially Genesis, where it says, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes, you'll find out that God did not like that. He didn't approve of that, and judgment fell every time. Now, you can only be free if you recognize there's some limitations. That's the word. There's limitations in freedom. You remember that old song Janis Joplin used to sing? Sure you do. You're old like I am. Freedom's just another word for nothing else to lose. That was in her sign, that song, Me and Bobby McGee. You probably seen that, don't you, Billy? I knew it. But you don't put that stuff in your arm before you sing like she did you? But freedom's not just another word when you got nothing else to lose. Matter of fact, freedom is when you gain everything. It's not when you lose everything, but when you gain everything. And as we surrender to Christ, though we're no longer servants to sin, now we're servants to Christ, we gain things. We gain, I saw a thing on Facebook. Every once in a while I see a post, does God favor some Christians more than others? And I always say, yeah. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. He'll save whosoever will. He'll save anybody that'll call on him, that wants to be saved. But in the realm of Christianity, look at David. You think God didn't favor David? Look at the life of David. My goodness, if it'd been me, I'd have chopped his head off. God bless that man. He fell and got up and fell and got up. And God blessed him. God blessed him. God blessed him. Solomon was the wisest man ever lived, but he wasn't the smartest man that ever lived. He ended up marrying hundreds of different women and then having concubines on top of that. That drove him crazy. And they got him to worship idols. They got him to worship idols. He even let them put idols in the temple alongside the temple furniture. Look at what God did for that man, the richest man that ever lived, the wisest man that ever lived. Go over there to Peter. Peter was a rabble rouser. That's what he was. First thing Peter wanted to do was chop somebody's head off. Amen. You remember when they come to get Jesus? Peter carried a sword. Why was he the only one with a sword? Because he was a fighter. That's why. And he pulled that sword out and he meant to chop the man's head off. He missed and cut his ear off. Jesus picked it up and put it back on. Like it was a Mr. Potato Head. He just picked that ear up and stuck it right back on there. And he said, Peter, if you live by that sword, you're going to die by that sword. And that wasn't the last time he got in trouble either. And look what God did with Peter. My goodness, yes, he does. He does. But see, you got to realize the liberty you have in Christ, that you make choices, and those choices, they have consequences. Amen. Now, but I'll tell you this, Peter never, after God told him to rise, slay, and eat, he got free from the law of Moses. He never put himself back under it. But one time, and that was a mistake because people influenced him, who shouldn't have done it, and he listened to him. But he was never the servant of sin anymore, and his number one sin was the sin of self-righteousness. Yeah. Now, if we're going to serve one another, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, he giveth grace to the humble. Did you hear that? He giveth grace to the humble. Now, I'm an American. I'm not ashamed to be an American. I'm a Baptist preacher. And if the war comes and they need old people like me, I'll go. Amen. Jeffrey, you'll have to go with me and help me, okay? You can you have my back, all right? But I'm going to tell you this. I love America, while I will love America. I don't have a problem paying taxes. I have a problem with the way they spend my money that I pay. Crooks, bunch of crooks. But I don't have a problem paying my share. I don't have a problem saluting the flag. I don't. Now, there was a time in my life I did before I was saved. I was a rebel. I mean, I had a rebel flag and a rebel hat. I know the rebel yell. What are you laughing about? That man back there knows more Southern history than anybody knows. But I'm going to tell you this. When I got saved, I laid all that aside, and I got liberty in Christ. I don't have to hate anybody anymore. I don't have to hurt people. I can be a proud American and a good Christian at the same time. Matter of fact, I think you'll be a better American if you are a good Christian. Don't tell me I don't have liberty in Christ. I can do anything I want to. I can. It was like my first pastor said, he changed my want to's. He changed my want to's. I don't want to be like that anymore. I don't want to be a slave to the world and sin and death and hell. I want to be a bond slave to Jesus Christ. He gave me my freedom, and I turned around and gave myself back to him. Romans 12, 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Listen to this. Which is your reasonable service. Something you ought to do. You say, well, preacher, you such a fanatic. I wish I was as much a fanatic about righteousness as I was about sin. Y'all used to be the same way. You'd find something new to drink, you just had to get everybody to drink it. You'd find a new bar, new club, new hangout, you just had to get everybody to go. Why can't Christians be as fanatical about Jesus Christ and the church as you were about the things of the world? And they enslaved you and they were killing you. And now Jesus has set you free. You have eternal life. You're never going to die. You're going to live long as God lives. He's already seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why won't you be willing to surrender yourself, your feelings, your emotions, your desires, your anything, and lay it at the foot of Jesus and present your body a living sacrifice, because it's really a reasonable thing for you to do anyway. Now, when I was a young man, they quit the draft of Vietnam when I turned, right after I turned 19 when they quit. At 18, I went to the post office and I signed up for the draft. Not because I was a good citizen, I was not. But because I was afraid not to. I'd seen them put boys in jail. And I didn't want to go to a military jail. I'd been into a regular jail. And I knew I didn't want to go to something worse than that. So I went and signed up. And I didn't pray. But if I did pray, I'd have said, Lord, don't let them pull this birthday. Because they pulled my birthdays. And it wasn't long after that my birthday came up. But they had just stopped. They hadn't officially quit. But they had quit calling people. They were still pulling out those birthdays so they could have a pool if they needed it to call boys from. But they said, we're going to draw the birthdays, but we're not going to call you unless we need you. And they had just quit calling. Now, if they'd have called me, you know what I'd have done? I'd have went. I wouldn't have liked it. They probably wouldn't even have took, well, they probably would have put me on the front line. They probably would have dropped me off in the Mekong Delta by myself somewhere, you know, and said, kill him. We don't want him. He ain't fit to live. But I'd have went. I'd have went. Not that I was a patriot. I was not. But because I was afraid not to. But you know, in Jesus Christ, I serve him because I want to. I'm not afraid he's going to kill me if I don't. It is my desire. It's my goal. It's my love. It's my life to serve him because I'm free to do it. I like it because he's never told me I had to. I'm free. Now, let me tell you something. I don't have religion. Religion will entangle you and make you a slave. Some of you folks grew up Catholic. And boy, that stuff makes a slave out of people. You can't get them to go to a Baptist church because they've been taught by the priest if they go to a Baptist church, they're going to hell. That's the only thing they can do to go to hell is go to a Baptist church. I'm teasing. But some of you others were raised maybe in a Pentecostal type thing where they told you if you did this or you did that, you'd lose your salvation. And that put you in bondage. And you were a slave to that religion. Not because you wanted to, but because you was feared not to. But then when Jesus Christ came in, you believed on him as your Savior. He set you free and he gave you choices. And you know what makes us happy now? To serve him. You know what makes us unhappy? Not to serve him. You know what I want, more than anything else, I want to serve him. Now, I've not done a great job since 1978 serving. I've had my failures. But boy, I want to stand before him. And when I stand before him, I want to hear, enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. Servant! I'm free. I don't have to do anything. But I want him to call me servant. I want to be a bond slave to Jesus Christ. I don't want to do what I want to do. If I do, I'll mess up. I don't want to do what everybody else wants me to do. If I do, I'll mess up. I want to do what he wants me to do, and I want to do a little bit more. And a little bit more. And a little bit more. We used to run bus routes. I guess we did it for, I don't know, 18 years, me and my wife would ride, my kids would ride. Every Saturday we'd go out on visitation and visit these kids, give them some candy, tell them what was happening on the bus. We had fun on the bus. We didn't just go blow the horn to get on. We had songs on the bus and candy and prizes, and we'd take them to church, go to Sunday school, and then we'd, and by the way, I was probably the one teaching them after I got them there, and then we'd have children's church, and I was the one doing children's church. And then we'd put them back on the buses and take them home, you know, and they'd be red and black and white and red and white and black and white and a little bit of mixture of everything, you know. And we'd love them. And I'll never forget, a man told me one time, he said, Brother Ron, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time with these people. Their mother and father will never get saved. These kids will grow up and forget about you. And about your Savior. And you're exposing your children to children that you wouldn't want your children to be around. Well, I got news for you. Every once in a while, one of them will walk up to me at a store somewhere. And they'll say, hey, you remember me? You remember me? I say, I don't know. Tell me your name. If I remember your name, that means you're a troublemaker. I had this boy walk up to me in the Dollar General one day, and he was covered with tattoos all up in here, you know, all up here. You could tell he'd been to the penitentiary. This was before people, Christians, started doing it. And he came up to me. He's taller than me, big old brawny young man. And he said, hey, Preacher Roddy. You remember me? I said, no, sir. No, sir. He said, my name, and I ain't going to say it because I'm on Facebook. If I said it, half town would know it. But he told me his name. I said, oh, yeah, I remember you. Yeah, I remember you. And I thought he was fixing to jump on me because the last time I put him off my bus from camp, I said, did you and your brother and your sister enjoy camp. They were bad, 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 bad. And they said, yeah. I said, good, because I'll never take you back again. That's the last thing I said to him. Then he walks up to me. He said, you remember me? I said, no. He told me his name. I said, oh, yeah, I remember you. And I thought he was going to jump on me. And then he started smiling. He said, did you know that was the happiest week of my life? Did you know that me and my sister and my brother, we still talk about it sometimes. That's the best week of our life. I didn't have to do that. We didn't have to do that. We did that because we wanted to. Nobody made us do anything for God. You want to do something for God. Nobody makes you do anything for others. You want to do something for others. Nobody makes you live for God. You do that because you love Him and others. Now, I have liberty that makes me a slave by choice. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the liberty in Christ. I'm glad I don't have to burn down buildings and blow up stuff. Lord, I'm glad I don't have to worry about waking up tomorrow and wondering if you still love me or not. God, I'm glad that I don't have to do anything, but by your strength and your power, you let me do things. What a privilege. What a privilege. And Lord, I'm sure there's somebody watching tonight. They need to get back in church. They've been out of church for months. This is an excuse now, Lord. They need to get back in church and get back in the liberty that you gave them serving you. Then there's others. They're bound by stuff, drugs. They're pushing needles in their arm and snorting powder up their nose and smoking things, inhaling things, drinking things, God. And they're dying. They're dying, Lord, because they're a slave to this world and the things of the world. And Lord, they think they can't be set free. But God, if they'll turn to you, all they got to do is turn to you. He looked at that crippled man laying beside that gate. And he said, Lord, help. And he took him by the hand and he said, get up. Get up, take your bed and walk. And the man got up and took his bed and walked. He looked at another man. He said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I might receive my sight. And he gave him his sight. And it was immediate. He didn't have to go through a program. There were no steps. All he did was look and live, was set free. Lord, there's people out there tonight that need to look to you and be set free. I mean really free. Not like Janis Joplin who overdosed. She overdosed with heroin, Lord, thinking she was free, but she was a slave to sin and hell. Lord, there's some out there at night watching. They're slaves. They're slaves. They think they're free, but what they're being driven. They're being driven, Lord. And then there's others out there, they've known the liberty of Christ, and they've left it, and they put themselves back in bondage. They did that. God didn't do that to them, and He's calling them to come out from among them and come back to Him. And then, Lord, those of us who's trying our best, God, we want to serve you. We want to sell out to you. We want to be a slave to you because you're a wonderful taskmaster. You're the ruler of the universe, and we can call you Master and Lord. That word Lord means Master. Help us, Lord. Cornerstone Baptist Church, help these people get back to the Lord, back into serving you, back in the liberty that you gave them that day you saved them. Help these who are dying, Lord, from things that their slavery has taken them into. And then one day we'll get to heaven. We'll look back on this stuff. We'll understand things a lot clearer. Until then, give us the faith to go on. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.